Good morning, Church on the Rock. Once again, my name is Rashad Cunningham. I'm the pastor here. This is kind of our wake-up call. We know that we have an earlier service, so we like to loosen up, and I start by just saying good morning, Church on the Rock. So if you could join us this morning as we say that. Good morning, Church on the Rock!
Good morning, Rashad!
Amen. We're going to continue our series of waving the white flag, waving the white flag. I want you to turn to 2 Chronicles 20 with me. 2 Chronicles 20 is the scripture that we're going to be in. Now, we got like 10 verses that we're going to be looking at, but we're not going to break down each and every single verse. Instead, I'm going to hit the principles, and I really want you to just kind of follow with me. So for those of you who have not been here the past couple of weeks, let me just give you a quick update. We're looking at the story of Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat, who was the son, he came from a line of kings, starting with David, Solomon, Rehoboam, Abijah, Asa, and then there's Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat had put himself into some self-inflicted suffering. God delivered him from that self-inflicted suffering. And as a result of being delivered, he went back to his nation, went back to his people, back to his family, and started doing some reformation, started changing some things and pointing people back to God. As soon as he started pointing people back to God, started changing his life back to God, problems came, the enemy came, three nations came up against him to try to destroy him. Now, I want to start right there. I know some of you have already heard this, but as you heard, we have problems all up here, right? We had some water pipes bust. We're going to have to pull down some of the wall. Any of the men who are standing up there for that, thank you. We got X's on the stage that are keeping me from walking in certain places and all these things. And when I think I reached out to Don earlier this week, I said hallelujah, didn't I, Don? I praised God that we had problems, because the way I see it, especially reading this story, that means we're getting some things in order and we got an X on our back as a church. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I mean, the fact that we're preaching through this sermon series and out the blue, after 2 weeks of just powerfully feeling God moving amongst us, people are starting to surrender and change some things in their life, boom, out the blue, water pipes explode. Like out of nowhere, right? And we got all these problems and things going on in the church with the structure, and the enemy's trying to get us to have an excuse not to gather or something, right? Have an excuse not to come together. Like, it's just, I just started shouting. I was like, man, we must be doing something right, because he's coming up against us. Has anybody else over the last 2 weeks really been hit by the sermons, really been changed and challenged by the sermons? And all right. And as a result, has anybody had some problems this week? Has anybody had some crazy problems this week, right? So here's where I want to open up. This is what I want to open up with. If you have a toothache, where do you go? Okay, that's cool. That works. I hope you go to the dentist, right? If something's wrong with your body and physically you're having some problems, who do you go to?
The doctor,
right? So here's my thing. Why is it when we have problems spiritually, we don't go to the only one who can fix them spiritually? We Google, we turn to Facebook, we turn to our home girls and our home boys, but we don't go to the one person who can actually fix the problem. So today, what I'm talking about today in 2 Chronicles, we're going to be talking about the victory and where we find the victory. We've been talking about battles since Christmas Eve. Today we want to talk about the victory. So here's my first point. Victory is found in the assembly of God's people. Victory is found in the assembly of God's people. Now, I'm just gonna warn you right now. I love every one of you who are in this congregation, okay? And I'm gonna warn you right now that I mean that, even if it's my first time meeting you. Ask around. I sincerely care about you this morning. This message is gonna step on some toes, all right? So just be forewarned, and if you've talked to me this week, I'm not taking shots at nobody. This thing was stepping on my toes all week. So if you hurt, trust me, my toes hurt right now, okay? So victory is found in the assembly of God's people. I want you to see one thing real quick. When Jehoshaphat went back in chapter 19 and started changing things in his household and started changing the nation to focus on God, okay? It says in chapter 20, verse 1, it says, and then after this, after he made those changes, that's when the enemy came. After he started putting his eyes on God, right? So tell me something. Why is it the enemy knows to gather when we become his problem, but we don't know to gather when he becomes ours? Why is it when we're going through something, we isolate ourselves? We don't come to church when we're going through some things from the enemy. We don't call on our brother or bear each other's burdens because I don't want so-and-so to know my business, right? Or I don't want to share, or I don't want to be a burden to somebody. The enemy knows that when we become a problem, the enemy gathers. Three nations came up against Jehoshaphat because he became a problem, right? But tell me this, when the enemy becomes a problem for us, we sit at home. We let the enemy's problems keep us from gathering together. When the victory is in the assembly of God's people, not your isolation. So I want to start right there. It says in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 13, look at this. It says, all of Judah was standing before the Lord with their infants, their wives, and their children. All of Judah, everybody and their mama. Everybody was together. Everybody had come together because there was a problem. They gathered. They assembled together. Strength in numbers. Strength in, and I love this. Not just the men, not just the women, but the infants and the children. Y'all don't think their children ran around back then like they do now? Right? So don't let that be an excuse either, because there's an excuse. We like, I would go to church, but my kids. But your kids what? Your kids need Jesus just like we do, right? Right? Bring the kids, but they might run around. You really don't think they was running around back then? Kids ain't changed, right? So look at this. All Judah was standing before the Lord with their infants, their wives, and their children. They gathered. They assembled. They came together. There was enemies on their porch, enemies on their way to destroy them. So they came together. This was after fasting. This was after prayer, but they all came together. They were on one accord, gathered in an assembly of God's people, right? Everybody. And I love it because when I think about the children, the first child I think about, I don't know if she's still out here, but Lily. Lily, is Lily out here right now? There she is right there. This little girl right here with the hat on. Let me tell you something. The children are special because look at this. There's been some trying times this past year that we've all went through as a church family. And I tell you what, Lily's innocence and her ignorance to some of the things has always been one of the highlights of those situations. I can think back to some of the celebrations of life we had, the times we were at the hospital for Lewis. Lily's still praising God. She's still running around and enjoying life for what it is. And sometimes it's just looking at Lily and how Lily can still be running around like everything's okay. That sometimes I need to look at Lily and just remind myself, if I could just have a childlike faith like her, everything's okay. When Lily's in here, I don't know if y'all heard her, but just earlier this morning, she was over here screaming at the top of her lungs, just having a good old time. Mama, we play hide and go seek. Like just no cares in the world. Why? Because that's that childlike faith. I'm just happy to be here with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm just happy to be gathered this morning with some people that I see every Sunday, maybe every Sunday evening. I'm just happy to be in the presence of my church family. But we walk in here all kinds of different, don't we? We walk in here, another Sunday morning. We do it more out of religious obligation than relationship, don't we? And we wonder why we don't have the victory. So it's funny because they gathered. All of Judah came together. All of Judah was standing before the Lord, the infants, their wives, and their children. And here's the thing. The Bible says this in Matthew 12. Give me Matthew 12 real quick. I want you to see something. Jesus said this in Matthew 12 when he was talking to the Pharisees. He said, he who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters. So look at this. Look at this. He specifically, in the context, was talking to Pharisees when they tried to say he cast out demons by the power of Satan. That's what they tried to say. They was like, you know what? Yeah, he cast out demons, but he does it by the power of Satan. Jesus started schooling and was like, well, why would I cast out the team I'm on, right? Like, why would I go against my own team? A kingdom against itself cannot stand. That's what he said. But then he comes down to this part, and look at this. He who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters. Now look at this. We know the obvious people who are scattering, right? The anti-Jesus people, the people against Christ, the people against his word. We know that. But look at this. Even those who are idle are considered scatterers. Even those who sit by themselves in isolation are considered not gathering for Christ. Think about this. If I gave everybody in this room a puzzle piece for a puzzle that we're going to put together, and I said, be here next Sunday with your piece, and we're going to put this puzzle together, and one of you stayed home just because you just didn't feel like being here, you have become against what we're trying to accomplish. Can you understand that? And this is not for you to feel bad if you are sick or if you're taking a day off, per se, to spend time with your husband. I'm not trying to hit you like that. I'm saying this. I'm saying when you simply are saying, I am the church, I don't have to gather with church folk. The Bible says, I am the church. The church is me. You are a part of the church. A part of the church. The gathering, the assembly, if not for anything, Jesus said to gather. Is that not enough? Like, we start getting into all this theological stuff, and doesn't matter if we gather. Are we saved if we don't gather? No. Man, forget all. How about this? Jesus said gather. That's enough. I don't have to have some doctrinal disputes with you on why you should and why you shouldn't, or if going to church is needed to be saved. Yo, Jesus said gather. You said you was a disciple. You said you was a follower. You said he was Lord of your life. So just do what he says. He says gather, you said he's Lord, so do what your Lord says. But once again, as I always say, we just like Jesus the Savior. We don't want Jesus the Lord, right? We just want Jesus the Savior. We want that fire insurance. We don't want somebody telling us what to do, telling us, yo, you need to be there Sunday morning. I know the game's coming on later on, but you can give some time to God right here. You can surrender to that, right? So look at that. If we are not gathering, we're actually scattering. That's crazy. And the victory is in the gathering because the gifts are in the gathering. Look at this. God's gifts are given to God's children for the gathering of his people. Right? So if you're a believer, the Bible promises you this. The Holy Spirit is dwelling in you and you have a gift of the Spirit. That gift is given to you for the building up, for the edification of the body. It's not meant for you to be sitting at home on your own. In other words, you hurting our victory when you're not here gathered with us or whatever church you're gathered at. You're a piece of the puzzle. You are a body part. We need you to function. We need you to move. We need you to win the victory. We need you here, gathered. And this is not to make our numbers look like anything. If y'all know anything about me, I hate administration. I'm not even trying to keep the numbers. But I do want the victory, and that comes with the assembly of God's people. Think about this. Think about this. I'm not talking about talent, all right? And I got permission to use this, but when you hear Tyler sing or Daniel sing or something, you hear a great talent, right? And that's awesome. But there's a lot of talented singers in the world. There's a whole bunch of talented folk in the world. You don't have to be singing in a church to be considered talented. Matter of fact, you ain't got to believe in Jesus to be a talented singer. But there's a gift in that talent because they're believers in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Has anybody been in here and felt the room shift? Felt the room shift when Daniel or Corey raised his hand, when Daniel or Tyler kind of hit certain songs, and it's not the note that they hit, but it's what the Holy Spirit is doing inside of you. Like I'm not talking necessarily the gift of healing where I hit you upside your forehead and you healed and now some things and, you know, your bones they're not broken anymore. I'm not talking about that, but have you thought about the gift of healing of you've coming in here depressed, you've coming in here thinking about walking out in your marriage, you've coming in here thinking that it's all over, like there's no hope, and then you hear a song, and through the singing of our worship team, you feel the gift of healing through the words that they're singing? Has anybody ever had that experience? Or have you heard me preaching, and there's a lot of great speakers, right? There's people who speak way better than me. I almost said much well. I'm not a good speaker, right? Like I'm not a good speaker, right? But there's people who speak way better than I do. But if they're not believers and if they don't have the gifting of preaching and teaching and exhortation and prophecy, then you're not going to get nothing out of that. It's not my speaking, it's his gift, right? It's not the performance, it's the power, right? Right? So how do you get that victory if you're not here? How do you receive the benefit of the gifting of the assembly if you're not here? And I'm not talking, once again, I'm not talking about the emotional response. I'm talking about the eternal response. I'm talking when you start evaluating and examining your life because of the words that you're hearing in a song or through a through some preaching or through some prayer, right? I'm talking about the eternal. I cry. I'm a crier. Y'all know that. I be crying. But I'm not crying because of me being emotional. I'm thinking of eternal things, and I fall on my face, and I praise God, and I lose it because I can't understand why I'm worthy of his son's life. It just don't make sense to me. It makes no sense to me why me, someone who has dogged all of his creation, someone who has walked over his creation, why he would die for me. Why would he die for me when they're singing those songs? I'm thinking, why me? It don't make no sense. I can't do nothing but cry and shout hallelujah, right? I can't do nothing but respond to that because I'm being encouraged or exhorted through the singing of our worship team. But some of us won't even gather for that. So think about this. We're supposed to be living sacrifices. Maybe coming to church is a sacrifice for you, but you call yourself a Christian. Christ died on the cross, right? We're just asking you to come to church. He died on the cross and says, go be living sacrifices. Just show up to church. It ain't got to be Church on the Rock. That's why I said this is not about you coming here. I'm talking about you gathering in general with God's people for the victory. And it's not even for you. I mean, it's not even for them. It's for you. It's for you. The victory is in the gathering. And here's the thing. When we assemble, you have to be available. See, think about this. It's coming into the church is one thing, but coming into this church and being available, that's another thing. My mom used to play this song. It's completely not like appropriate for Christian worship, so don't go Googling and try to worship, but the chorus said, your body's here with me, but your mind is on the other side of town, right? Talking about a relationship like, hey, we're married and you sit in the living room with me, but you ain't here. You're not really assembled here. You're not really gathered here. Well, a lot of Christians do that in the church. Your body's here, but your mind is on the playoffs. Your body's here, but your mind is on the worries and the fears and not God. Like, your body's here, but your mind's on the other side of town for what you're going to eat for lunch after worship is over, right? Like when are you here? Actually assembled here, actually focused on the victory here, actually believing that we are gathered not just to be doing something religiously on a Sunday morning, but we are gathered because of the victory that comes in us assembling. So Judah, all of Judah, go back to 2 Chronicles for me, all of Judah was standing before the Lord with their infants, their wives, and their children. Go to the next verse, and it says, and then in the midst of the what? The assembly. The Spirit of the Lord fell on Jehaziel. My next point is this. So we have victory in the assembly of God's people. We also have victory in the awareness of God's presence. Victory in the assembly of God's people, the gathering of God's people, but victory is also in the awareness of God's presence. Now look at this. When we are aligned in an assembly, there's going to be God's presence. He says, where there's two or more, I am there, right? Okay, now look at this. It says, as while they were in the midst of the assembly, go back to that 2 Chronicles, while they were in the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel. Now look at this. How would they have been able to recognize that unless there was some kind of awareness there, right? Like, Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeel, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite of the sons of Asaph. Y'all better clap. I got all those names right. Y'all better clap. But go to the next verse. Go to the next verse. It says, and he said, listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not fear, be dismayed. We're gonna pause right there. But basically, a man in the midst of the assembly. So he not only was he assembled, he was available because the Spirit of the Lord fell upon him. And then he started prophesying. But here's the thing. What if somebody just stood up right now in the middle of this congregation and started saying, hey, this is what the Lord says. There's more ways to heaven than just Christ, right? You have to know something to be able to know if that was God speaking or not, right? But here's the thing. Some of us don't spend enough time with God individually to know when God's among us corporately. You see what I'm saying? Like, some of us don't know anything about God on our own to even know what's of God and what's not. That's why any YouTube can get your attention and make you believe something. Any Facebook post can get your attention and make you believe something, because you don't even know how to discern the spirits. And the Bible says in 1 John 4:1 that you need to test the spirits. It says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Think about that. Some of us believe any old thing that anybody says because they put Jesus' name in it. Facebook posts, type amen 10 times. Y'all better stop sending me that stuff. Like, I'm dead serious. Y'all better stop sending me that stuff. I ain't typing, sharing, or anything like that. I will pray with you about whoever you want me to pray with you for. I will go out to that person's house, and I will lay hands and pray over them. But you ain't got to share this Facebook post and try to make me feel guilty. The Bible don't say that. I test the spirits. But let's be real. There's a whole lot of stuff out there trying to get you to believe whatever it wants you to believe. And there's one Bible, one word, one truth. And we need to be able to be aware of God's presence. Maybe this is your last time coming to Church on the Rock, no problem. But this is still for you, because wherever you're going next, you want to make sure it's a house of God, an assembly of God. How do you know that if you haven't spent time with His Word, if you haven't spent time with His people? How do you know that? Think about it like this. Have you ever been like with the substitute teacher? With the substitute teacher. Y'all know back in high school, or any of those who are in high school or middle school, when the substitute teacher was there, it's on and popping, right? Like, we about to clown, right? Because it's a substitute teacher. Why? Because the substitute teacher don't know nothing about nothing, right? And it's the same thing. Like, when you're under wrong leadership or leadership that ain't of God, there's going to be all kinds of stuff going on that ain't even supposed to be going on, because y'all following a whole bunch of substitute teachers. That's what y'all following, a whole bunch of substitute teachers. Easy access. I don't want to go to church and get a word. I'm just going to YouTube somebody. Don't know nothing about them. Don't know nothing about their doctrine. Don't know nothing about what they believe. But what I do know is it sounds good. It tickles my ears. It feels good. We don't want that hard truth, right? That's substitute teachers, right? Or maybe in your case, how can you test something you don't know? Like, how can you apply a test to something that you don't know nothing about? If you don't know God's word, you can't test anything. If you don't have a relationship with God, or at least have other beliefs, I don't know everything, but I do know brothers I can go to and say, hey, I just heard this and it kind of wrestled with my spirit. I need your discernment. Josh, I need you to come alongside me and study this with me, because I just heard this and it sounded good, but I can't remember if it's anywhere in scriptures. Can we fellowship and can we just have some lunch and talk through this to make sure I'm not following some false prophecy or some false words or some false doctrine? That's what that gathering is about, right? Because the gathering's not just on Sunday morning. It's at your 5-9 family. It's at your men and your women's ministries. It's gathering of believers in general. Seek to gather as often as possible, day after day, right? So like, you have victory in the assembly of God's people. You have victory in the awareness of God's presence. Are you aware that God is even here? Why are you here this morning? I pray it's not because of the preaching. I pray it's not because of the worship. I pray it's because you actually believe that God is working among us in this congregation. That's my prayer. If you're here for any other reasons as a believer, then those reasons are going to fail you eventually. They will. Eventually, the sermon won't hit you. Eventually, the worship won't make you shout. Eventually, some things are going to happen to try to steal some things from you and walk you away. But if you're here because you're like, I know that God is here and I just want to be where He's at, then you're in the right place. Then you're in the right place. So victory's in the assembly of God's people. Victory is in the awareness of God's presence. Take me back to that 2 Chronicles for me. I want you to see this here. So all of Judah was standing before the Lord with their infants, their wives, and their children. Keep going. And then in the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon, that's God's presence, came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, I got to do this again, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite of the sons of Asaph. Keep going. And he said, listen, thank you, listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. All right, now, I want you to hear something real quick. I'm going to pause real quick and step outside of exactly where we're at. But the words Judah and Jerusalem actually have a meaning. Judah means praise. Jerusalem means prayer, okay? So Judah and Jerusalem, an assembly of praise and prayer per se, and the enemies that were coming up against them, once again, I'm just stepping outside to teach a little bit. The enemies that were coming up against them, the Moabites and the Ammonites. Does anybody know where Moab and Ammon come from? Like who, what the foundation of that is? If you go all the way back to Genesis 19, you'll see the story of Abraham and Lot. And what you'll see is that when Lot was delivered from Sodom and Gomorrah, they went off into a cave and his daughters were confused. I mean, not confused, but scared, thinking there'll never be nothing for us to continue our line. So they got their father, Lot, drunk, and they slept with their father. And the older one had a child named Moab. And the younger one had a child named Ben-Ami, which is where the Ammonites come from. And now here we are years later, and the Moabites and the Ammonites that come from this sin are up against praise and prayer, trying to destroy the praise and prayer of some. Have you had sin within, right? Sin, sexual sin maybe, right? Maybe some sexual sin, maybe sin of the flesh when you're thinking about the Edomites that have come to try to steal your praise and your prayer. Think about that. Don't let those words go over you right there. So look, we have victory in the assembly of God's people, the awareness of God's presence, and victory in the acceptance of God's plan. The acceptance of God's plan. Go to that last verse I was on right there, Bonnie. I want you to see this. He said, listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Keep going. He says, tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the valley in front of the wilderness of Jeruel. Excuse me. So look, he says the battle is not yours. You have to accept that. There's people who are going through things right now, who have battles among them right now, where God, through counsel, where God, through his word, has told you to leave something alone and let God fight that battle, and yet you come alongside him and trying to fight with him, right? I've always told my mama, let the kids just be. Like, let them figure it out on their own, but mom wants to come alongside them and enable and get in God's way, trying to win the battle for her kids. When the battle was not hers, it's God's, right? Some of you won't let God just be God. You think you got to help God out because the plan that he come up with is not something that you agree with. Anybody feeling that way this morning? Like God has showed you the plan. He's knocked down some doors. He's confirmed some things, but it don't look like the way you thought it should look like, so therefore, you're struggling with it. I know when we started doing Church on the Rock here, we said we wanted to be ascending church. We want to send out people, and we had a plan, right, Josh? We said we're going to send out missionaries and church planners, and yes, we're never going to have attendance problems because we're going to be sending people out. Well, people start moving over the last year, like going this place, going that place, and they're like, hey, we're not leaving on bad terms. We're just feeling led by God to move here for this work opportunity and things like that. And we were like, man, this isn't the plan, right? This isn't what we thought it was going to be. But when we stopped and thought about it, God is still doing exactly what he said he would do. He said he would send people out from Church on the Rock. He's sending them out. It just don't look like what we thought. We thought we was going to be raising up church planters and sending them out. And God's just like, no, I'm just going to give them a new job and put them in a new church that's struggling. So it's still God's plan happening, and we have to accept that. But a lot of us, when it don't look like what we want it to look like, we won't accept it, or we try to help it, or we try to improve God's plan. He says, the battle is not yours. You don't have to fight this battle. I'm going to fight the battle for you. And then look at this. He says, tomorrow I'll go down against them. There's two things there. A, he knows where the enemy is. He knows the enemy's plans before you even go into the battle. Think about that. Before you even enter the battle, before you even get ready to partake of the battle, he could tell you the location of the enemy, where the enemy's lined up at, what's going on. Can you imagine? That's like some Patriots cheating type stuff, right? I'm just playing, bro. I'm just playing, bro. All right, my bad, man. All right. Yeah, five rings. You're right. And when I think about it, that's what I think about. Why they got five rings? Because they knew some stuff they probably shouldn't have known. But anyway. Think about what if there was like a God gate, right? Like instead of deflate gate, there was a God gate. Like the fact that because God already knows the plans of the enemy, if I just trust in the Lord when he says the battle's not mine, it's his, and just do what he says, if I just accept his plan is in his word. If I just open up the word and just accept the plan, I will have the victory. Have you ever thought about God is the cheat code, y'all? Like we will win. We win. And like I've always said, my end times theology, for anybody that's new, here's my eschatology, my end times theology. God wins. That's it. God wins. So since he said he wins, I'm with God, right? I want to win, right? All we do is win, no matter what. Amen, brother. That's what I'm talking about. So look at this. I'm with God, right? I'm following God's plan. I accept the plan. So he not only does he have a plan, but he knows the enemy's plan. And then he says, tomorrow, go down against them. So that means actually there's a multitude of nations coming up against them. And he says, go face them, right? Go face, like you still have to do something, but trust in me. Tomorrow, go down against them. Remember, they were afraid, right? They were afraid. They were powerless. They didn't know what to do. And God says, I get all that. The battle's mine, not yours. You just go down and get in position, right? You just go put yourself in position. And there's some faith that has to go there. You have to accept that. Three nations coming up against us, and you're saying the battle's not ours, it's yours, but we still need to go face that? Like my cousin said, you can't conquer what you don't confront. You can't conquer what you don't confront. Like you got some battles that you won't face that you just kind of try to slide under the rug and God's like, stand firm, resist. Don't you flee, the enemy will flee. You stand firm, you resist. You confront and you will conquer. You have faith and you stand your ground. Your faith will help you face your fears type of thing. And then keep going to the next verse. Matter of fact, go to 2 Chronicles 20:20 for me. Go to 20:20 for me. I want you to see this right here. It says after they heard that the battle was not theirs, they heard that they need to stand and station themselves and be prepared and just see the salvation of the Lord. But look at this right here. They rose early that next morning. God said, tomorrow do this. They rose early that next morning. That shows the anticipation of God's plan. Now, this is where my toes got stepped on. See, when I started church at New Living Bible Church, I would normally come. They start at 10:30. I get there about 11. That's just what I did. I get there about 11 because all I want to do is hear the word. I didn't have any anticipation of victory. I didn't have any anticipation of what God was going to be doing there, so I came whenever I felt like coming. We do that a lot here, don't we? Don't we? We get here whenever because it's just this religious thing that we're doing. We should be up already in worship and praise because we're anticipating what God's going to do. Do we really believe God is here?
Amen.
So act like it. Like, act like it. Like, I'm not trying to be legalistic and say, you better be here 9:15 or else. But I am saying this. Where's your anticipation of God doing something miraculous here? Where is it? Like, through this church, right here, in this little church, do you really believe that God can do something amazing here? And if so, then why wouldn't you be up on tiptoe anticipation to see what he's going to do this week? And next week, and the week after that. But see, you got to actually believe that. And that's when it gets real, real silent. I got real silent here too. But that's the truth. Like, I know we got kids and stuff. Wake up a little earlier. If you're excited and actually thinking that something's about to change in your life because you're assembling with God's people. But if you don't have just that mustard seed faith, then you're going to walk in here whenever you feel like it. Why? Because I just need to hear the word. I don't really need to hear the worship, or I'm just doing this to check it off on my list. Like, think through that real quick. Just think through that real quick, because it hit me hard. I remember early in my faith, I didn't like the worship team at New Living because I was more concerned with the performance and not the power. So I showed up whenever I wanted to, and it was mainly when I tried to pinpoint in time when Pastor Taylor started preaching. Once I grew in my faith and started seeing the power of worship, regardless of who was singing, and it was in the power of the words, and like my life was actually changing, I couldn't wait to get there. Y'all know me, I'm late to everything. I'm sitting there dragging my wife to church now. Like, come on, we got to get there. I want to hear the worship team, and I want to do my giving, and I want to hear the word. I want the worship experience because I believe my life is changing. I believe God is there. I believe something's actually going to happen. Let that convict you, however it may, but surrender to it if it is. If it's actually convicting you, then surrender to it. Surrender to it next week even. Anticipate the victory of gathering together and be here. Not just for the worship and or the service itself. Be here to interact with the people. Maybe it's not about your victory. Maybe you need to be here for somebody else's victory. Do you know what can happen in the 15 minutes before service starts? Do you know I've seen somebody come to Christ in the 15 minutes before service starts? Just being here a little early and being available for somebody, they've been led to Christ as a result. You know how many little kids come and tell their salvation story before the service starts? So let that hit you. Let that hit you hard. Victory is in the assembly of God's people, in the awareness of God's presence. Victory is in the acceptance of God's plan. And finally, victory is in the activity of God's praise. The activity of God's praise. Bonnie, give me 2 Chronicles verse 19, please. Verse 19 real quick. I want you to see this. So Jehoshaphat tells the Levites, the sons of the Kohathites and the sons of the Korahites, they stood up to pray. He told them to get ready to assemble and all those things. And then they stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a very loud voice. A very loud voice. I want you to see something here. Sometimes you guys know that when I am literally just dwelling with God and I'm here, you'll hear me shouting, screaming, thank you, Lord, or whatever. I know culturally sometimes that can bring some frowns and people are like, oh, he's trying to bring attention to himself. And in some cases, you've seen people maybe in your experiences where you felt people were trying to bring attention to themselves. Yo, let those people answer to God for that. You got to get to a place where you're not worried about who's around you. You see what I'm saying? You see, this is what happens for those of you who don't know. As I have a greater multitude of problems, I have a greater magnitude of praise. The deeper my problems are, the higher my praise goes. And if you think I'm trying to bring attention to myself, that's on you. I'm praising God. When my hands are up, I don't need y'all to look at me. My hands are, half the time I'm way back there. I don't know who's looking at me or not because I am simply in praise. I am shouting with a very loud voice. In this text right here, they hadn't even got to the victory yet. They're just praising God on what he said was going to happen. Sometimes when people are singing, when I hear the worship team singing, there's nothing that's actually changed in my life. I'm just happy that he said he's the great I am. I'm just when we were singing, "We Will Not Be Shaken," I got some things that's trying to shake me, but God said I won't be shaken if I'm standing with him. So my hands go up and I'm praising him. Amen. With a very loud voice. And I get it, the personalities, right? Like, I'm a this type of prayer. Some of y'all, what they say, carry the TV type of prayer, right? Like, carry the TV. Some of us, you know, kind of armpit prayer, you know, praise. And some of us right here, and I'm not knocking anything, but here's the thing. True worship's in spirit and truth, right? That's John 4:24, spirit and truth. So think about this real quick. I don't care, there's not a right way to worship, but there is a real way to worship. You see what I'm saying? All I'm asking here at Church on the Rock is that you worship for real. That worship does not really have peripheral vision. It looks one way, and it's just me and God. Whatever y'all getting out of this, that's great, but it's just me and God. And when we unlock that here, you're going to see a different type of praise. I mean that. When we unlock that here, you will see a different type of praise. And when we go over to this other church, I kind of want you to feel this verse specifically because they might praise different than we do. That's not for us to sit back and be so caught up in how they're praising that we're just judging and no. Instead, we need to join in on that with however you praise. I'm not knocking you for not raising your hand, so don't knock me for shouting hallelujah to the God. That's just where I'm at. There's victory in the activity of God's praise. And I want you to see in verse 21, keep going. So in verse 21, look at this. After they rose early in the morning, Jehoshaphat consulted with the people. So this is a major part because he's actually talking to the congregation, right? So that whole accepting of God's plan, you can't accept God's plan if you're not aware of God's presence. Because check this out. If I tell you that we need to go do something, if you can't fall under my leadership, then you're not going to do it anyway. And now we're out of alignment and there's no victory in that. So like, if you really believe that I am the pastor of this church and that you are led to this church, then you are accepting God's plan and you are aware of God's presence. That doesn't make me any more special than you. But will you surrender to my leadership when I say this is the direction we need to go based on what I'm reading in the scriptures, right? So he consulted with the people, the leader, Jehoshaphat, the one that they believed that God was with him. He consulted and said, hey, this is what we're about to do. And if they're not aware of God's presence with Jehoshaphat, are you going to follow this plan? He appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire. So they're specific people, all right? Pay attention to that. Know your role, right? Not everybody is a worship singer, right? So it's okay to be out here worshiping God, but there are actual worship leaders, okay? And we need to heed to that. Not everybody is a preacher and a pastor, right? There are actual people who do that. Not everybody's in this. So know your gifting, find your gifting, and get in order. Get where you're supposed to be. Stay in your lane so that we can function as a body. But look, he appointed specific people, those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire, as they went out before the army and said, give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness is everlasting. So look at this. You have to trust the leader to say, bro, I'm a singer, and you're telling me to go out in front of the army? I'm a singer. I'm a praiser, Tyler, and you want me to go out before the, like, they got the weapons, and you want me to go out before them. You can't do that unless you have some kind of confidence in your leader, right? You can't do that unless you have some kind of awareness of God's presence with your leader, and if you're willing to accept God's plan. If I'm ever calling on us as a church to do, I'm asking us to show up Saturday morning because I'm looking at God's word and saying it's necessary. Some of you may be uncomfortable with that, but I'm saying if you call me your pastor, trust me as your leader. Trust me as your leader, not as Rashad Cunningham. Trust me as the person that God has appointed over this congregation. If you can't fall under that leadership, and I'm not talking about those who just can't make it, but if you can't fall under that leadership, then you really need to question, why are you here? That's part of surrender. Why are you here if you can't fall under my leadership as I follow God? As I follow God, if I show you in the scriptures and I feed it before I lead it, then why can't you follow? If you can't, then there's probably you probably shouldn't be here under my leadership, and that's okay. That's okay. There's people I won't sit under for my own reasons. But if you call this your church and you call me your pastor, then you have to accept God's plan, be aware of his presence, understand, check, you know, test me up against the scriptures, test the spirits, but then surrender to that and follow that. So he appointed those who sang. Go to the next verse. He appointed those who sang, and look at this. When they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against the enemy. When they began singing and praising, that's where the victory was at, in the singing and the praising. The victory was in the activity of God's praise. We don't place enough emphasis on singing and praising. We don't sing enough. We don't praise enough. We are always about these practical things, not realizing that in the singing and the praising, God will give you the victory. There's been some times when I felt like everything was about to be lost, and I'll just be in my car, and I will just start singing. I'll just start singing and praising God by myself, and there's victory in that. So I want you to think through these things as we prepare ourselves for the end here. Victory's in the assembly of God's people, the importance of gathering. It's in the awareness of God's presence. It's in the acceptance of his plan and the activity of his praise. I want you to just think through right now, before this morning, what you thought victory was in and adjust it. Prioritize coming to church, not because we need bodies and we need numbers to fill the seats. No. Prioritize it because we need the victory as a congregation. Prioritize learning more about God, reading the word for yourself, so that you can be aware of when there is a false teacher among you. Prioritize surrendering to his plan, right? Actually knowing what the plan is because you've read it or somebody you trust has given it to you, and then surrendering to that. Every Sunday, we give some kind of challenge here. How often out of those 52 Sundays have you actually surrendered? Last year, out of the 52 Sundays, what was your ratio of surrendering to the message? Because that's God's plan. These messages, they're not just to be cute. They're not just to be on some platform. They're supposed to give you instructions on how to win the next week, how to win the next month, how to win the next year. But if you won't even accept that, then what was the point in knowing the plan? And then finally, the activity of his praise. As I ask you guys to stand up and get ready to sing, think through it like this. Think through it like this. There is victory in singing to the Lord. There is victory in praising and praying. There's actual battles being won when you sing. So to sit there silent is to just not believe that. I'm asking you to believe that some of the things you're going through this morning, or some of the things that your brother or sister in Christ is going through this morning, will be won in song and praise. I'm asking that you understand there's somebody in this congregation right now who doesn't even believe in Jesus Christ. They don't believe in Jesus Christ. They don't believe in all of this. But maybe when they look over to you and you're sold out for God and you're praising God and you're singing to the Lord, you are planting a seed that is going to lead them to our Savior. There's victory in that. So please stand up with us. Sing with us. Praise with us. Everything that we're about to sing about here is just the simpleness of the gospel. The simpleness of the victory. There's not a whole bunch of things we got to do and earn. We simply call on him as our Lord and Savior, and we have victory in that. So let's just go back to the simple things. Showing up for each other, learning more about God's word, and singing and praising God. Three things I want you to do this week. Show up for each other, learn more about him, and sing and praise. Can we do that this week? Can we surrender to that this week? Show up for each other, learn more about him, and sing and praise him all day long. Amen? Amen.
This podcast is a ministry of Church on the Rock. If you would like to learn more, please visit our website at www.churchontherockbb.com.